Glad that you're here with us tonight. And my favorite thing that I get to do tonight is introduce one of my students to you. So, from the drum set himself is Jackson Schultz. Jackson, woo! So welcome him to this flat piece of land that we're all on that's not a stage. Jackson is one of my student leaders. He is one of the funniest people I've ever met. That's about it. That's all you need to know. He'll reveal some more things about himself. But he has a word from the Lord for you tonight, and so I hope that you are ready to receive. Can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus, thank you for Jackson. Thank you for his heart for you, that he has made himself open for you to use him as a vessel. And I pray, God, that the words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart would be pleasing to you. God, that you would be the one speaking to us tonight, using Jackson as your vessel. And so we thank you and we praise you for all that you're going to do. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
All right. Is this thing on? Get it? Because you were just talking into it. All right. Hi, I'm Jackson. Sadie was just talking about me. This is my first time preaching ever, as you may have guessed. So pretty excited. Not like super nervous, but I am kind of dumb sometimes, so if I just kind of like stop talking in the middle of a sentence, it's not because I'm scared, it's because I've forgotten who I am and where I am. So, as I'm sure you may have noticed, I play in the worship band quite a lot. If this is your first night here, I play in the worship band quite a lot. This is my third year doing that here at the Well, so I participated in Eli last year, and I'm on leadership. I've been into worship for quite a while in general. I've played at like, you know, 5 or 6 different churches over the past 7 or 8 years. So that's really kind of become my way of connecting with God. So everything, all 20 years of my life have led up to this. You're welcome. Glad to be here. If you want to know a little more about me, my favorite word is intrepid. I wasn't stung by a bee for the first time until I was like 16. And I have a cat, and his name is Spanky Johnson himself, Schultz. So I got here my first Thursday night of freshman year looking for, you know, a campus ministry to get myself involved with. And like, before I even settled in and decided whether I liked this place, I was like determined to worm myself into the worship band somehow. And so in a lobby full of people that were complete strangers to me, I found this like buff, long-haired dude standing off to the side, and I was like, he probably plays guitar. And that dude was Tyler Henry, if you know him. He was a senior when I was a freshman, and he definitely played guitar. He led a worship band here at the time. So I started playing bass up there with him. I'm totally lost. And so, you know, just getting involved with the Well, it wasn't long before I was settled in. And fall retreat came around. You know, at that point I was talking to absolutely no one except Tyler Henry, guitar player. And, you know, everyone's trying to convince all the new kids to go, and Sadie, who I had no idea who she was at the time, was like, dude, you need to go. And I was like, whatever, who are you? So I went, and I couldn't stay for the whole weekend, so I was just kind of testing the water with the whole thing. I stayed Friday night. Friday was awesome. We're in the dude's cabin. It's like midnight at this point. You know, I'm thinking everyone's gonna get ready for bed. And then one of the upperclassmen just kind of like stops what he's doing. He's like, dude, pull or plunge. And like everyone else in the cabin starts like chanting it and also stripping. And I was like, what's happening? So I'm just kind of standing there. I'm like, hey, what's that mean? And finally, Tyler hears me trying to figure out what's going on, and he looks over and he's like, dude, pull or plunge. And I'm like, thanks. So finally they explain to me that they're going to go jump into the pond. as I'm sure you could have inferred. It's like 40 degrees outside at this point, so I'm not too keen on it already. And I mean, you know, that's probably something that I would have done, but I wasn't planning on staying for the whole weekend, and I didn't have swim trunks, so I was like, sorry guys, have fun without me. I'll definitely do this next year when half of you are gone. And so they're not having this. They're convincing more and more new kids in the cabin to go. I'm like, man, seriously, sorry, I'd go do this, but I'm not about to go in my jeans. So after an embarrassingly small amount of peer pressure, I sacrificed a pair of athletic shorts. And the strange part to me was like the moment that I put the two loose athletic shorts on, fool me once, that's another story, that like urgent awkwardness and adamant refusal to interact that I get whenever I'm around new people just kind of left the chat. It was gone. I mean, never in my entire life had I been so totally comfortable with people that I had never met before in swim trunks at one, like so quickly. So, you know, we all burst out of the door to this cabin, and despite the fact that I am freezing and completely lost, I'd never been to this campground in my life, I was like out in front of everyone leading the pack. And I was like, wait, where are we? So we finally get to the water, not finally, but we get to the water. I'm kind of panicking again because I'm like, oh, we're here. You know, it's a pond. I'm actually kind of bad at swimming. Why'd I come? Am I going to like embarrass myself by drowning? So, you know, I'm just kind of standing there, and then Tyler bolts past me, throws his towel down on the bench, and he's like, just drop and go, dude, and he like jumps in. I'm like, okay. Like that part of my brain that's, you know, responsible for flooding everything with adrenaline was just like, yep. And I kind of speed waded directly into a wall of seaweed. So I got nauseous on the way, got nauseous on the dock. The water was warmer than the air was. It was freezing the whole time. We were all swimming together. The stars were out, and I have refused to miss a fall retreat since. So something that you may have noticed in your walk with Christ, whether you're new to this or whether you've grown up in the church, is that it's not always an easy place to be. I'm sure that's perfectly obvious to everyone here. You might disagree. I don't know, that's fine, but personally, I'd say it's not even usually a particularly easy lifestyle. To be fair, though, neither is school or a social life or hobby, sport, relationship, whatever else you're doing. But we as Christians insist that there's something different about this still. Something that sets your relationship with God apart. God insists that there's something that sets that relationship apart. And, you know, obviously there are many things. But in this context, I'm here to tell you that you have to be in a state of active pursuit with God. That's not something that's really required in all those other things I mentioned. I mean, it's, you know, certainly preferable, but you know, you could just go to school, you could show up, really not even all the time. You could get enough of your work done and you'll get by. You could just kind of hang out in the same room with your friends just enough, say some funny things to keep them sticking around with you. You'll get by. And the difference here is that you simply cannot do that with God. Revelation 3:15 through 16, as we're going through, you know, the seven churches in this part of the Bible, if you're familiar with that, says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. I need water. I forgot that was there. So firstly, I'd kind of like to make a quick remark on the gravity of I know your deeds, because that's awesome. There's no hiding from God, and I'll get to that in another point. But the main idea here is that there is no bare minimum in your relationship with God. You can't ever just kind of turn your mind off. You're not just going to be able to scrape by here. And it's easy, and it's tempting because it's so easy to just run on autopilot like that, to fall asleep at the wheel, because the path can sometimes seem so straight that you cannot dream of crashing. And that might not be a bad choice for you sometimes. You know, obviously you need to take a step back when things get stressful. You need to make sure that you're, you know, maintaining a healthy frame of mind, but it's very dangerous to do it for more than just a little bit, because if you find yourself tempted to just tag along for the ride in your relationship with God, you will be defying his plan for you. And this is what makes following Christ so difficult sometimes. This is what makes it so different from everything else, because it's just as easy to fall into the habit of withholding your full devotion as it is with everything else in your life. But the difference is that in this scenario, it will never work for you. So loving God is an active lifestyle. You have to be deliberate in your pursuit of God, and for the sake of this sermon, for the sake of time particularly, I've boiled that act down into four fundamental steps. So the first of which is being aware. You have to be aware of God's presence. Pretty fundamental. You have to be aware of the way that he wants you to conduct yourself. You have to constantly ask yourself if you're doing what God wants you to do. Every second of your day, God has to be on your mind. You have to be prepared to confront yourself in what you're doing. So, you know, obviously I didn't just come up with this one on a whim. It's been pretty fundamental for a couple thousand years now. The first commandment, as described in Mark 12, when Jesus is asked, what's the most important commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The most important commandment. And at many points throughout my life, throughout my understanding of Christ, I've puzzled over that question of kind of how to profess my love for God. You know, he calls you to love him above all else. He calls you to fill your soul with that purpose. He calls you to flood your mind with his presence and to do so until you've exhausted every last bit of your strength. And that can be an issue because for many people, particularly me, the concept of focusing on one single thing for the rest of your life can seem kind of daunting or impossible, but it can be done, and it must be done, because this is what God asks of you. And so obviously this doesn't mean that you're supposed to, like, limit your whole mind to one single act, but it means that all of your actions and all of your thoughts need to be governed by him. You need to let God into your mind. You need to let him move you in a way that is pleasing to him. So if you're looking for ways on how to do this, please stick around here, particularly because there are a million ways, and I don't have time to dissect them all, but you'll hear them in other sermons, you'll read about them in the Bible. Prayer, fasting, meditation, study, community, that's just a few of them. Personally, I find it most helpful for me to try to just, like, vocally thank God for every blessing that crosses my mind throughout the day, you know, and, like, it doesn't have to be screaming in a room full of people that you don't know, but just, you know, a quick thank you, God, under your breath. It really kind of reminds you. I'm very good at focusing on the things that I don't have, and it's an easy reminder to focus on the things that you do. So the second step is taking responsibility. And this one comes in two parts. And the first being the shedding of and subsequently resistance of ignorance, right? It is ever so tempting to pretend that God just isn't really there or to operate solely on the knowledge that he's already forgiven you, right? So you can just have this one little defiance and then you'll go back to your full devotion later. Need to avoid that. And the second half, once you've taken care of that first, is discerning the turning point between a healthy lifestyle and a sinful one. And what I mean is that we're all inclined to sin. We're all familiar with this concept. Jesus in Mark 7:20 through 23 was preaching about how nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. And then later on, his disciples asked him what the heck that meant. And he says, what comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, from a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sin is born inside us. It's created inside us. And this is why it's so difficult and so incredibly crucial to identify the point where confidence becomes pride, for instance, where love becomes lust, admiration becomes envy, rest becomes sloth. I could go on for quite a while, but let me make this part clear. This is not something that you need to do alone. This is not only incredibly crucial, but it's a part that you can get wrong if you're trying to discern this by yourself. If you're wrong about when you need to draw the line before an unhealthy lifestyle, you will immediately find yourself being consumed. So you need to bring these questions to God. You need to pray about your limits, that you may understand them and that you may never cross the lines. And you need to pray for guidance in the event that you ever do. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so, if you ever feel clueless in this, remember that God has promised you answers. And not only can you find this help from God directly, but you can consult those around you in their own walks with him. And this brings us to step three, which is accountability. So your journey with God is not something you're supposed to do alone, obviously. Matthew 18 through 20 says it pretty blatantly, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. And the application here is that it says gathered in my name. And to gather in his name is to go through every single step of devotion in the presence of others. So you need to find a group. This group will be a support group. This is a study group, a group of people who will pray with you and for you and who will search for all the answers with you and who will bring you closer to God just as you will for them. They will accompany you in every step in your walk with Christ. And for the last step, I'm going to jump back to the first one for a moment because that part about loving God with all of your strength, like I said, kind of seems a little horrifying, especially from a student's point of view, because, you know, we all understand that in principle, we all agree that you should love God until you have no energy left to love him with. But realistically, you're thinking, how in the world am I supposed to spend all of my energy on one single thing? I've got school, homework, and the rest of my life. How am I possibly supposed to just ignore the rest of that and expend all of my energy in this one place? And this is quite similar to that other argument, finding difficulty in focusing on one single thing. And the answer is, again, that you can love God through all the other things with which you fill your life. But more specifically, I want you to remember and trust that the Lord will give you rest. I promise you, if you can love him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, he will calm you and he will keep you secure. In the words of Jesus, again, Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you're to be active in your pursuit of God. You're to love him with all that you have, to shed ignorance, to take responsibility. But remember that you are not alone in this, and God will provide for you. So that reluctance that I was sitting with at that first fall retreat, first just to participate with everyone else, and then again when it came time to like actually jump into water that I knew was freezing in athletic shorts. That spawned from the fact that, I mean, it would have been just so easy not to do any of that. I could have just sat behind and waited for them to come back and not had to try to figure out how to operate the showers at Camp Bethany. But, you know, what actually could have gone wrong logically there? What was keeping me from going with them? Was I afraid I was gonna like drown surrounded by a bunch of athletic bros who would have had absolutely no problem just reaching down and plucking me out of the water? What is there to possibly fear when you give yourself over to God, when you just decide to jump in and go with it, spend all of your energy, give all of your focus? What is there that you could possibly be afraid of? So again, we're all aware that this can be a pretty difficult life at some time, at times. Sometimes things can start stacking up a little bit. You find yourself under more and more pressure, and God gets kind of hard to hear. You know, sometimes he's quiet for a little while and the things you're facing just seem like they can't really get any worse, and you're pushing and you're struggling. And you're starting to get pretty lonely without him there, and finally you just want to say, God, I was asleep at the wheel for years and I never hit anything. Please just let me close my eyes again. It can be hard to live a lifestyle in active pursuit of God in a world that makes it so easy to lose sight of what you're working for, and so here's my favorite reminder. Revelation 7 says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" And the people that this is talking about is us. Okay? This is what God has promised us as active pursuers of him. He's promised us rest in the kingdom of heaven right by his side for the rest of eternity, with nothing else to focus on but our ecstasy that we are in his kingdom.